This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. On today's podcast, we talk all about super subs and why no one likes getting light switched, Ronaldo's appearance for Phoenix FC, and we end it all with my appearance on Crime Watch. Hello and welcome to that Peter Crouch podcast. I'm joined by Chris Stark and Notorious SID. Now, this episode is brought to you by our friends at Paddy Power and a new super sub product.
Yeah, so that's right. Today we're celebrating the power of the humble substitute who's gone through quite a transformation in recent years, I think it's fair
to say. Yes, series one of the podcast, we covered subs on the podcast. We talked about our own experiences and things have changed a little bit since then. So we're going to get into the substitutes, a role that I know quite well, obviously, because James Milner just took over my very prestigious tag of most substitute player in the Premier League.
When did you...
It's the one they all wanted.
When did you find out you had that? At the end?
I had no clue until someone told me.
When you were still playing or when you
finished?
Well,
I think when I broke whoever's record it was.
Yeah.
Then I knew then. Yeah. I can't remember.
Because Millie's only done that recently, wasn't it? I've done an interview with him a couple of months back.
Yeah, I think it was... Was it while he was at Liverpool, was it or not?
No, it was recently, Brighton.
It's a good record, I think.
Do you know what?
At first glance, it could look negative, couldn't it?
Well, yeah, I think it's one of those ones where it's like, you know, I'd rather have Shearer's one. But, well, you know, or Milner's appearance record, which is an absolutely incredible achievement. But then my mate said it to me. He said, I'd give my right arm for one of those substitute appearances.
Yeah.
You know, so when you look at it actually from a perspective of people who haven't played the game, it is, you know, it's still appearances, but
you've sort of got to take that as a given though. Like that's, I mean, even what's the worst stat in football that could be leveled
that
at
one,
you?
Though?
No, I don't think, no, there'll be worse than
oh,
that.
Oh yeah, like most like, own goals or the most...
Most own goals, there you go. Yeah. You'll still have a mate who'll go, yeah, but I still would have given anything for that one appearance, wouldn't I? And like, that's almost a given.
Yeah.
I actually don't want to do it down. I just think, It might actually just be quite a positive stat in its own right, because it suggests to me that a manager in times of trouble turns to you more often than anyone else.
Yeah, but the flip side of that is he's put me on the bench more times than anyone else. Do you know what I mean? Whereas...
No, it's not, because you're not necessarily on the bench more than anyone else. You're on the bench and being used.
Mm. Well,
whereas there'll be plenty of people who've just been on the bench
and don't get used.
Yeah.
So yeah, and you're on the bench being used, but then also you're coming on and making an impact, because amount of times you've come on and scored as well.
Yeah.
It sort of brightens up, whereas if you're coming on just to be a body on there and shore the game up, it's not flattering, is it? That's what I had to do a couple of times.
Well, funny enough, there's actually the top 10 highest scoring subs in Premier League history. It's some bunch, this.
Right.
It's just a weird eclectic mix of people, I think. Defoe tops it with 24.
Yeah.
Giroud,
I'm shocked that.
Giroud, 21.
Yeah.
Javier Hernandez, 19 goals. Mm. I think that's unbelievable, because he wasn't in England that long, was he? Like, certainly not more than Defoe. Or
no.
Like,
this next one got me.
Kanu, 17. That's mad.
Yeah.
Daniel Sturridge, 17 as well. Solskjaer, who I consider possibly the best super sub.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think about things he's done.
He's the first one that always comes to your mind.
Yeah.
Ole Gunnar.
I think
he should get double points for some of them as well, I think.
Yeah, just, well, he scored four of the bench one game.
Four against Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, Forest.
Yeah.
From the bench, which is incredible. Crouch, not seventh on the list, was 16.
Oh, sorry.
This one got me. Victor Anichebe.
Oh, yeah.
40. I wouldn't have had that.
So, Everton, West Brom as well, was he? Yeah, Everton, 14.
Yeah, West Brom.
I mean, if you're coming on and scoring and making an impact, I mean, you're important.
Mm.
You're important.
Nice. So, we're like number 9, Welbeck, and number 10, Dzeko.
Yeah.
Anything different there?
Sorry, I was just distracted because we were just getting a quick delivery.
Oh, right.
So,
is it?
You're right, mate. A second. The old Royal Mail.
See you later.
There they are.
All strikers.
Amazing. That was amazing.
Yeah.
I thought we're talking about substitutes, and then walks a lad from the Royal Mail, and I was like, what? What's he subbing him for? But it's
Oh well.
Although you do get sub postmasters, don't you? I keep hearing that in the news, given the whole post office scandal.
Well, what about this one? My mate was a sub for Paper Round. So when we were talking about the paper round before we started this podcast, my mate was he used to help in the shop unless someone didn't turn up for their round. And then he went and done their round. So he had to learn all the routes.
Yeah, but didn't you have that, like a lot of your mates' parents would be subs for their paper round as well?
My dad was.
Because like...
Yeah. My dad got in that... have you heard of that? You know, there's an advertising magazine called Campaign.
Right.
Do you know what that is? It's basically for in... like house kind of advertising agencies, they have Campaign on the table, this and that. And there's a story that came out of my dad doing my round.
Oh, really?
He said, yeah, BBC, what was, no, sorry. BBH ad executive, the Moonlight. That was a picture of my dad doing my round.
So what happened there? He was spotted.
Honestly,
no,
he'd done like a thing. Like he told people at work, and the Campaign got hold of it and said, we need a picture of this.
Yeah.
So they took a picture and he'd done like a little thing.
It was a noble job that, wasn't it? But you did have, I can't say it was me, but you did have the odd mate that just sort of dumped all the papers and they always got found out in the end.
Yeah. You see them sometimes, the leader in the bush down the road.
You would. But also, I don't know why we in England never did it like the Americans do it. You know how they cycle launch down it. The road and just, yeah, it just needs to be in the vague direction of a house.
Well, there was a computer game.
Yeah, that was it.
Was it Paperboy?
Paperboy.
Yeah.
I used to love to play that. I used to get done by the dog.
That's it.
I've never seen this.
No.
Paperboy,
no.
It was like one of the
bike.
The graphics were shocking, weren't they? And you had to like ping the paper in the box.
That's it.
And if you got a dog, it chased you, you'd have to pick it up. Yeah.
this is way back.
Great game. Yeah. A long time ago, that.
Yeah. Just going back to this super sub thing that you were talking about, how does it work?
Yeah, well, with Paddy Power's Super Sub, this is something that, like, I remember when I was a kid, I'd always had the first goal scorer. And then when he went off, you'd be like, absolutely gutted. So this is, your bet now rolls over to the new player coming on at the same odds. For example, if you bet on Kevin De Bruyne, and he's replaced by Doku, who is then replaced by Jack Grealish, your bet will pass from De Bruyne to Doku to Grealish. So you've always got kind of interest.
So how does it work? If say a defender comes, or let's say, let me get this right. If you've backed a defender and they come off, but they're making an attacking substitution, on comes Peter Crouch, you're still on the same as backing the defender, except a striker's coming to play.
Which is obviously amazing, isn't it?
That's mad. Because you'd have to assume as well, throughout a game, the chances of a manager wanting to make an attacking substitution will increase.
Yeah,
so if they're losing.
Especially this season.
Yeah.
Because the way that more subs are having an impact on scoring goals.
Yeah, there's a stat here, right? 2021, it was 8.8 of Premier League goals from subs. Then 2022, 9.5. 2023, 12.27. And 24, 15%. Over 15% of goals in the Premier League. So it's going up every year.
Well, do you know what they so when I was doing my coaching badges, it's each their own, but at Brighton when I was doing it, they was not classed as subs, they're classed as finishers. So you can't, their names weren't subs.
Yeah, that was, I did that with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like.
So when you obviously, the team sheet comes out 1 to 11 and then on the side, it would be finishers. You know, like in the team meeting before you give to players.
So makes you feel good.
You're submitting a team sheet called subs, aren't you? It's,
yeah, you are.
Are you trying to claim
that? You're trying to build the ego.
He was talking to the squad and making the subs feel better by saying you're not.
That's going
to
get
starters,
messy.
Finishers.
That's bollocks, isn't it? But don't you think that's going
to. Would that feel better to you if you said, I need you today, you're my finisher?
Yeah, you're my finisher. Or so just to check, am I playing? No, you're not.
Come in and finish it off.
You're going to finish the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes you feel better. It's all psychology.
Yeah, but you can't tell all subs that they are finishers because they're not all going to come on. So, so the conversation would go more. So I go, Gaffer, am I playing today? Where am I on the sheet? And you'll say no.
No, you're my finisher.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I'd go, no, you're my finisher.
Yeah.
And then after the game, there's too much going on. You're not going to say, well, I didn't finish it, did I? It's already gone.
Yeah, but I would be like, but all the other lads that are I would think are subs, are they finishers too?
Yes.
It's amazing.
Potentially,
it's,
yes.
It's just a way to massage the ego, but the proof is there. I mean, 15.4% Premier League goals from subs.
That is a lot.
Yeah. And I think it's more of an attacking approach, isn't it, now? I think clubs are adapting, you know, not just to come on and shore things up, it's to come on, if you're winning 2-1, you're winning 3-1.
Do you mean a finisher is in finishing the game, or do you mean that it was only with the strikers that they were...
No, not like a goal scorer, instead of calling them substitutes,
that is dreadful.
Say your finishers. Yeah, well, you got starters, and everyone just, that's a recognised term, starters. And finishes. Yeah. It's a lovely way of, you know, saying you're not as shit as you think.
Yeah. It's very wooden spoony. It's given a prize to everyone at the school race, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So if you finish the marathon, you get a big, you know, certificate or whatever. You know, you've got no
marathon.
Yeah, you know, they always get something at the end, don't you?
Well, do you think the marathon should just be only reward the top 10% with a medal, and everyone else gets a participation award?
Well, it's just participation. It's the most, you know, most improved player in the Sunday League team, isn't it? You know, no one wanted that.
No
one wanted that. You must have got that a few times.
I was actually quite proud of.
Have you had most improved player?
Of course I have. It's all just depends how you perceive things, isn't it?
My perception of most improved player is you weren't very good, but you've turned up every week and you try hard.
You're almost making out that the most improved player in any team has only improved by matching the standard of the rest of them.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, what it says to me is you were all good, all of you. Sids, you're good. Crouchy, you're good. Starkey, you. Even better than that, you improved at a faster rate than all the other lads. You're ahead of them.
You keep believing that.
Yeah, but it's not. It doesn't make you ahead. That's the thing. Because the most improved player.
It doesn't make you behind.
If you were the best player last year and you improved more than everyone else, you're just going to get manager's player, aren't you?
Manager's player's parched.
You're going to get player's player. You know, if you're one of the best players, say top three, and you've improved massively to be the best player, you're going to get player's player. Whereas if you're
not necessarily
dog shit,
player, you could be one of the most brilliant players in the team and hated.
True. But then you
players aren't going to vote for the lad that they hate.
You think it's a popularity contest, player's player?
I think so.
Do you?
Do you not?
I never voted like that.
No.
Well, you voted with full integrity for player's player.
Well, I voted for myself most of the time. I didn't.
But most improved players, basically.
I don't know. Listen, I think, you know.
You're doing down a lot of listeners right now that won most improved
player.
Yeah.
I think if you're a kid, you know, I don't want you to be upset if you win that now. You know, it's a good trophy to win, but I don't think it's the best trophy to win out of the...
I agree with that.
I'm honest.
I think I won it two, but possibly three seasons in a row at Pin Stars.
Yeah, but imagine how shit you were at the start then.
You win it back to back.
I think I did go back to back.
My worry is how much room for improvement was there? You know, so, you're very capable now. So you have obviously improved at a great rate.
You don't have most improved at your elite level though, do you? I don't think.
I think did you have it at youth team level?
No, you can't, no.
You'd love to see it in the Premier League though, wouldn't you? You'd love to see it. Like
most improved player.
Well, let's get a couple of teams.
I've got one
let's
for
say
you.
What it's about introduced.
This one? Almiron. Almiron?
Definitely.
Okay, his early seasons struggled.
Yeah.
And then unbelievable last year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Got his team into the Champions League. It's an unbelievable most improved player. And the thing is, you can't say that's, you know, it contradicts what I said there because he was actually a very good player.
He nailed it.
Yep. Yeah,
do you know what I mean? He's improved. It contradicted
improved, but it was a negative award. Now suddenly you're...
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm contradicting myself because it's like he's gone from, you know, below par to then actually being a really, really competent player.
Let's do it. End of the season. You know how every club has an award. Yeah. Let's contact... I appreciate it's a bit of admin. But let's contact every club and Peter and Sid's like, I think they'll respect it from you guys.
We'll award most improved.
Most improved player. We don't have to do every club, can we? We can just pick a few. Okay. But it'd be interesting to be able to present the award to that player and just see what they say.
Well, like, I suppose it's along the lines of like a back stronger and a Chumbawamba, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah.
Can be. See, now we're thinking about it in a brand. More positive sense now, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, I used to look down my nose at it, to be honest. But I think, you know, I'm coming around having this discussion.
You've brought a new light to this. You've changed the perception.
Who would you give it to at Chelsea, for example?
Cucurella. Yeah.
Has anyone improved there this year?
There isn't, is there, really? They've used a lot of players.
What about Man United? What about McTominay?
Hoyland.
Yeah.
Manu.
Yeah. Well, he's from the start of the season to now.
There you go.
Yeah, most improved. Yeah. I really like this.
Awesome.
It's an interesting one from club to club. Well, let us know. Get in touch on the socials and do let us know about your thoughts on this. Most improved player.
Most improved.
Yep.
Okay, right. I've got a few substitute questions for you here. Most iconic super sub moments in football history. There's only one that springs out.
Solskjaer.
Yeah, well, it's just got to be, isn't it? It's like,
yeah.
No one bigger than that.
That is incredible. You know the four goals that he scored against Nottingham Forest was in the same season that he came and done Champions League?
That was the same season.
It was the same season.
That was when he kind of cemented himself as the super sub.
Yeah.
I would say.
The most iconic super sub.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, that was, when him and Sheringham also came on, that was unbelievable, wasn't it? Yeah. Like, I don't remember ever witnessing something like that. I've got another name for you though. Divock Origi.
Yeah. Wow. He's a legend in Liverpool folklore.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like,
and purely down to a super sub.
But are we talking about this just basically like Champions League super subs?
No, or is it just a nice excuse, he scored the winner against Everton as a derby. Remember that one?
Yeah. But then that's what made him so exciting to watch him come on. Like when you galvanised that finisher role, as you described it.
There was a buzz, you know, because I remember when I was a substitute quite a lot, when I came on, like you could feel like a shift in like the crowd, because they thought that I'd cause a bit of carnage, you know. And I think I did feel that when I came on, and like often, you know, if I hadn't scored, I'd still be like, because we'd start, instead of all this slow build up play, we'd go, right, come on, we're losing now, and crosses came in, there'd be chances, and it was definitely a different. I felt that kind of
feathers
movement.
When you
I did, and I think, you know, even you looked at they make substitutions to counteract the substitution with me coming on, so there'd be another centre half would come on, and they'd kind of retreat back, and
there also was the way it galvanises a crowd, like it, as you're saying, I hadn't really thought of it in that sense, that when you're coming on as a substitute, you're also making that noise, which then probably affects the kind of attitude of everyone on the pitch. Of it, it's a bit like. Yeah. Well, here we go, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like that bit.
Another name for you, Roger Miller.
Oh,
1990 World Cup for Cameroon. Scored four goals, all from substitute.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Did he? What, do you know when he came on?
Yeah, it was only about half hour he got, didn't he?
He was 38. So he was ridiculed for being there in the first place. And obviously the dance, everyone associates him with the dip. I've seen them hips in. Oh, have you?
I got that move. It's actually my signature move. People think it's the robot, but the old Roger Miller comes out. You know you're in trouble.
There's a bit of context to this. I walked into a bar, right, and they play live music, and he said, "Oh, come meet me." So I was with my wife, and I walked into this bar, and there's Pete up.
So it's like this restaurant's like a Cuban restaurant, right? Anyway, I've texted him and gone, "Oh, come and meet me." Yeah. But then I've just kind of like forgot about that, and I didn't think he'd even come. And then me and Ab were giving it this little salsa. He's walked in and gone, "Oh my God, what is going on?" There's only about two couples dancing. Brilliant. Me and Ab, one of them.
Did you do it knowing he was about to walk in?
No, I just pretty forgot. It was an evening that we were having, and he turned up and he was laughing his head off.
Snake hips, there we go. Yeah.
What about our lad the other day? Against Liverpool. That was a substitution. Last goal.
Yeah, Diallo. He scored the winner.
Yeah.
Unbelievable for him. And then got sent off.
And then got sent off. By the way, I missed what that was for. Rapid. I was in a pub at the time.
He was already booked. Took a shirt off. Yeah, I've got sent off before coming on. Something happened to me towards the end of my career when I was substituting. I felt like I shouldn't be. And I'd just come on and be so angry. don't know what got into me.
What, you come on the pitch angry?
Yeah. You know, like when you're fuming that you've been on the bench and you just release all your kind of pent up frustration from the bench. I've done the worst hack I've ever done in my life on Cesc Fabregas.
That I had to get his number. That was a bad one. That was a really, really bad one. Yeah.
I had to apologise to him. I had to get his number and apologise.
Was he playing for Chelsea?
Yeah, it was like that. Bad one. It was
Did he accept your apology?
No, he did. Yeah, totally. He was like, look, you know, thanks for getting in touch. He was fine. But there was another one, I think we played Southampton. And I got sent off, yeah.
Did you get sent off from being, were you on as a substitute then?
On as a substitute, two ridiculous tackles.
Wow. So. You do get angry don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, Bellamy was a kind of good case for that because he was just mad. Mm. What about if you get subbed on? This is one of the worst things I think that can happen to you as a footballer, surely. You get subbed on and then subbed off.
Sub-sub.
Yeah, the old light switch.
That's not good.
The light switch.
You're on and off.
Oh, wow. Wow.
No one likes getting light switched. It's very rare.
It's degrading.
It happens.
So degrading.
Yeah, I think that is the worst thing that can happen in football. You said that earlier, didn't you? Yeah. What is the worst? That is the worst.
Especially if
it's not tactical. If it is tactical. Sorry, yeah. Yeah.
Like, no, if it's like you've just been that bad when you came on, you get...
Yeah, like if you come on a sub and then there's a red card, then you get brought off.
Yeah, that's not your fault. No. You can't help
that. Yeah, but if it's like you come on and you're played shit and you're getting brought off again.
Yeah. I remember it happened to Charlie Adam once and we gave him a load of grief for that.
But it's being a light switch.
Yeah. But it's not nice. It can happen to anyone.
It's not nice. And even if you see the manager trying to explain it to the player... The player doesn't ever look like they're having any of it.
No. What were your experiences of being a sub?
Yeah, a bit of both. Mixed bag.
Did you play much?
Mixed bag, really. I remember coming on, scoring a few times. Yeah, coming on. And I think that's like pretty similar to what you said there. I remember Aston Villa, I think it was my first appearance in my bin for Villa. Wigan away. And I was angry because I just wanted to get on. I think it was like 3-0
up. Happens.
It was 3-0 up. Yeah. And I was like, come on, get me on. We can. So I come on and I scored. And done it at Fulham as well. Everton at home, come on and scored. But then there's the ones that don't go too well. And you know, like sometimes when you come on and it's cagey, and then like when I used to come on, it was more of a case of getting the box and get us a goal, or just, you know, come on, sit in front of that back line, shore things up. So when it's that mode, you're like, you don't want to come on and fuck up. Mm. And there's been a couple of them where I've given a free kick away. Stoke was one of them. Happened a couple of times at Stoke, and it starts going to the manager's mind, going, can't rely on him. Do you know what I mean? It's like, normally you can trust him and throw him on. Remember the Stoke one against QPR, give a free kick away outside the box, and they scored from it. And then, you know, like the whole build up to the free kick, you're thinking, I'm just going, please don't score. Please don't score. Yeah. It was scored.
God, if they score and you've been the substitute, you're right.
Because the lads have like worked their bollocks off for 80 odd minutes. 2-1 up, and then you come on and made the mistake.
What's the most common thing a manager says to you? You know, when you're waiting to come on as a substitute, and obviously I understand there's a little bit of tactics and stuff like that, but is it the same old cliched stuff? Is there something like back stronger-esque stuff they all say?
You know, yeah, for me, like I remember like a few managers saying to me, like even when I was on the bench sometimes, you know, we talked about the finishers and all that, they would come up to me and say, you'll win us a game today. You know, like
Classic, just a little one,
and I'm on the bench here, but I'm still does make you feel like, yeah, I am going to fucking win as a game today. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, if you do as well, I told you so and all this, and yeah, it is a good moment.
Yeah,
because I've come on and scored like the winners and stuff, and there's nothing better than that. Towards the end of my career, Ab used to say to me, I'll be fuming. I'm going to come home. I was on the bench again today, and she was like, yeah, but you scored. But like, yeah. And then she got into my head, like, actually, well, you feel great, don't you? Your legs are all right. You get to that age where you're saving yourself, scoring goals, and everyone's talking about you. What's fucking not to like?
It's a win-win.
Like?
It's a win-win. I was like, she makes a good point.
All right. See, what the fuck do you want to start for? Come on 80 minutes, get a winner, and then everyone forgets that you didn't start.
Yeah.
I had all different ones.
Did you?
Because like I said before, whether I was coming on to score or whether I was coming on to just, you know, just shore things up, it would be a case. The majority of it was like, shitters, get on there and fucking start hitting a few. Like when no one's putting a tackle in, just start
shake it up.
Yeah, just get on there and hit someone first, like first couple of minutes you can, just to get us going, get the crowd going.
So you went two-footed on Fabregas.
Yeah. I did. Do you know Shake 'Em Up Harry? Did you see that? Harry's horse, Harry Redknapp's horse at Cheltenham.
I saw that.
Yeah, so I actually was on it as well myself. Texted him after actually, like, because he was buzzing, wasn't he, Harry?
Yeah.
But you know why it's called Shake 'Em Up Harry? So good. He's on the bench at West Ham. And there's a fella behind him that sits behind him the whole time going, shake him up, Harry.
Shake him up, Harry.
Yeah,
no, that's why he's called.
He's like, I've never seen this fella's face, right? But all I hear whenever we're losing, or shake him up, Harry. Right? And he said, anyway, he was in Dubai. He said he was going to the Burj. I heard this on Talk Sport, actually. And he was saying he's getting in the lift and he's going up to the restaurant in the Burj. Anyway, he's heard from like behind him just as he's getting in the lift, Harry. And he goes, who's that? He said to Sandra, that sounds just like the fella who sits behind me at West Ham. And he goes, and then he turns around and he starts chatting to him. He goes, are you Shake 'Em Up Harry? And he goes,
no
that's
way.
That's me.
No way. That is incredible.
Unreal. So then he called his horse that.
Shake 'Em Up Harry.
Great, isn't it?
Yeah. Shake 'Em Up. Get on there and shake 'Em Up.
Yeah, well, that's you, Sids. Shake 'Em Up, Sids.
Shake 'Em Up.
We've talked about some of the sort of negative substitutions that can happen, i.e. subbed on, subbed off.
Mm.
What was the other one?
Getting sent off.
Oh, yeah. Getting sent off as well. Is up there with the favourite substitutions to see happening, the referee sub, which is just always a joy.
Always a crowd pleaser.
It's so fun. It's great. Or a goalkeeper substitution as well, for some reason, piques my interest.
It takes so long, doesn't it?
Well, it's the way they put on their clothes and everything on the bench. It's they're so unprepared
for it.
Are they? It's all frantic, trying to get gloves on. It's like, I don't know. It's like you've been caught at someone else's wife's house or something. You're trying to get your clothes on as quickly as possible and get out the window.
It's kind of I've ever performed it like that. Oh my God.
Where's my socks?
I'm
gloves,
out.
Gloves.
Next time I see a keeper come on, I'm going to be thinking he's trying to climb down the fire escape.
That's brilliant.
It does look like that.
It does look like that, yeah. And even when they run on, they run on fast, don't they, as if they're running away.
So,
mate, I'm going to look out for that now. Hi guys, this is a little bit of a call to arms. I've realised that Ben Foster is a goalkeeper and he's got more subscribers than us on YouTube. It's an absolute disgrace, really. We're planning on being as big as Mr. Beast. And if you haven't subscribed, then you're a Carl. And I can't condone that. So please get in touch, hit subscribe and make us as big as Mr. Beast, or at least bigger than Foster.
So we're talking substitutions. The most iconic one that never happened was the cup final, Chelsea, Kepa and Caballero. And that was purely down to him coming off. There was a...
He's going, no.
Yeah, but he went down injured, but then there was a thought of, are they bringing him on to save penalties? Because he'd done so well in previous. And just give it flat refused. Just the finger, I'm not coming off.
Imagine.
Sorry, went mad and he stormed down the tunnel. He come back, he was
smoking livid.
What
is the actual technical rule on this? So if you refuse a substitution,
well, they can't drag you off the pitch.
Change off the pitch, can you? What are you going to do? Just like pin him down on a stretcher? Do you know what I mean? Like you can't physically remove a player, can you, surely?
No.
I just went, if someone said to me, right, your number's up, you go like, bollocks. I'm fucking not going off.
What can they do?
They can't. I don't think they can. I think there must be a time frame on it, and then the other team would just go, ref, like, hurry up, come on, and they go, no, play on, then let's go.
But can the ref insist that you leave the pitch?
Yeah, probably must be able to. Otherwise, he can send you off.
Yeah.
But this is, I would love
that's
to know this.
That's what would happen.
That's what I'm trying to say is, can the ref, so if you continue to refuse, you're just like, no. So the manager then goes to the ref and says, well, I want him off. But surely the ref can't send you off,
because now you're time wasting.
No, I think he could, yeah.
No, because if you got sent off, then the substitute can't come on.
Yeah, no,
you're down to 10
minutes. Yeah, but then he's let his team down, hasn't he, completely.
But this is what I mean. That's why I don't think, unless, what I'd love to know is there an actual rule that says the ref can give you a red card? Therefore, you're not going to stay on the pitch for time wasting and that. You're not going to stay on because your team will go down to 10 men.
Yeah.
So the sub won't happen.
Oh, that's...
And you've shithoused them. Or is it a case that maybe this rule doesn't exist, that the substitution can only happen by like a complicit player crossing across that line?
Yeah, like,
and at that point, the transaction happens.
Transaction.
You have to be complicit.
Yeah, because I mean, what would happen if a player says no? I think, because in that example there, I do think the manager was kind of fucked. They didn't know what to do.
It completely undermines the manager.
Yeah, doesn't it? You're in big trouble if that happens.
I don't think, if it was me as a manager, I don't think you'd play for me again.
No.
You can't disrespect on such a global scale
that's
like that.
That's never happened, is it?
In a final though, you getting disrespected like that.
Yeah.
It is bad, isn't it?
Talking of positives about being a sub, I've actually got an assist.
Yeah.
From warming up.
So you weren't even on?
I weren't even on the pitch.
How's that happen?
It was at Villa Park. I think it was Villa versus Hull City. We sort of put one down the channel. I can't remember if it was the keeper. The keeper, I think, came out, kicked the ball out, was off the pitch. I grabbed the ball, give it to Gabby Bonglehor. I think he threw it into Millie straight away and then he volleyed it into the goal. And everyone come to celebrate. Everyone's come to celebrate me.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And the crowd were like, well done, Sinners. All right, Sinners, well done there, Sinners.
I think he might be better than me at the old the old impressions there. Was that a Villa fan, was it?
That was a Villa. That was a Villa faithful.
Oh,
dear, silly boy. What is this?
But you were just in the right place at the right time.
That's what it was. Right place,
right
time.
You know what? That's what they always say, but you know, you've got to be there, haven't you?
But yeah, I made an impact.
You did make an impact, which makes me think, should you not be, if you're being paid by a football club to be playing for the club, right, and you're a finisher, shouldn't you be sent out to
shit house
to be around the pitch getting extra ball boy, like getting involved? Because to be fair, they've got a goal out of it from you.
Well, you know the rule now, isn't there? It didn't the rule change where you had to go the other way to the linesman, right?
Yeah,
because so you have the linesman there and then you have the subs the other side. Because if you loads of times you'd be on the linesman just going, fucking shit decision that line though.
Yeah.
Right.
You're just in their ear constantly, like he's well onside. You know, just constantly. I remember a few managers sending you out, I'm going to have a word with him. And you'd be out there going, that was fucking shit.
Yeah. Neil Warnock's done that. There's a clip of him.
Yeah, you get sent out.
He turns around to the bench and goes, fucking get down there and tell him to liven up.
And then you've got to ping down and go and have a word with him.
What about... So let's looking at slightly more alternative management styles here. Mm. How many subs are there on the bench? There's, let's say,
seven?
There's
nine?
So many now.
Changes every week.
Well, let's just say there's six.
You can have five subs
just for
now.
The sake
bring
of
on five.
You can bring on five.
Yeah, on five, but there's cast of 100. But let's just say there's six people on the bench, right? Just for the sake of this. And they've got to be on the opposite side to the linesman. Mm. But on both sides of the pitch, there's two opposites there, right?
Mm.
So you could, if you wanted to put your players to work, put three out on one side of the pitch, trying to look for an assist like you had, Sid, and three out on the other side of the pitch. I think as a fan, that would be great to see.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? Just stand out there the whole time over the
wait
other side?
Wait for the ball. As soon as the ball comes out, straight.
Well,
straight
that's what ball boys are there for. Do you remember when Tottenham, it happened at Spurs and Jose Mourinho got the kid in?
Exactly.
You don't need the subs over there then. They can just chill in the heated seats and
they
just
needed
watch
you
game.
In that moment.
Well, that's the kind of person I was, you know. I'm just
I think the rule
on the
is you've got to be parching. You're only warming up down one side.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
You can't go across the pitch.
Did you see Mopai? Did you see him against Chelsea? Where he's warming up, I think it was Chelsea.
Is it a throw-in?
Where it was a throw-in.
Yeah.
It was a free kick. Right wide, right where he's warming up. So as he's warming up, he's gone on the pitch and just moved the ball and then carried on warming up and then gone like, what?
Yeah. He's got that in the locker, isn't he?
He's great. No. I really enjoy him.
Good shithousery.
Yeah. Yeah, sub-housery.
Sub-housery, yeah.
Sounds a bit, you sort of, yeah, sexual that was.
How did you find the whole routine as a sub? You know, like where the lads will go out and you kind of do your own stuff over the other side, then you come in. How much do you need to piss, by the way?
Yeah, I think you need to piss more.
Like the whole first half, you're desperate because you've drank as much water as the people at the starting. Mm. And like, you just don't run it off, or like, you stay so hydrated and then just constantly keep having to nip in. It's weird.
What, when you're warming up?
Yeah, when you're warming up, I just have to run in it all the time. Did you have that problem?
Do you have to ask the manager for a piss? Or?
No, I just used to run in.
Just go. Well, mind you, you have to let him know a little bit to say, I need to go for a piss.
You do, because if he turns around, around just like, go, where's
me? Not there.
He's on the shitter.
It's been done many a time.
Yes.
There was one player who I won't mention. I've seen him run into, watch the 340 at Newmarket.
Right, I've seen one player go in and watch a race and then
come back out again.
I've heard that.
Liverpool player.
Well, no comment.
Yeah, that's a yes. I think we all know who that is. That's unreal.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a long, you know, it's only a couple of minutes, isn't it?
But still. During...
Well, the thing is, it's like the Grand National happens when the match is on, isn't it, on a Saturday? Isn't the Grand National like 3:45 on a Saturday?
Same time as football, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, if you're on the bench, if you kind of delay, you could delay your old coming out for the second half, can't you, for a couple of minutes and get that
racing. It's quite an eerie thing, isn't it, when you're in the dressing room as a sub and everyone else is playing and the game's on outside and you feel like you shouldn't be in the dressing room.
So weird.
Even if you're just, whatever, delaying the toilet tactic or you've come back in to... Have you done that where you've got your shirt or I've to get back in and get my shin pads or shirt.
I've done that, but I've always remembered before I've had to come on, so I've pinged it back in and got my shin pads.
Do they have a little guard on the door or can you just flow in?
No, you can just go in. There's always someone down the tunnel.
There's always people in
there. So you could pop into the away if you wanted.
Don't think so. No. Usually the kit man in there, isn't there? It's usually like an assistant kit man or a kit man that's in there all the time.
Yeah.
But it does feel weird when you go in there. What is worse in that situation is when you've been sent off and you walk in. How weird is that when you're sitting in the dressing room waiting for everyone to come in? You're on your own.
That's a horrible wait. It was like waiting for your dad to come home from work if you've been naughty, wasn't it?
Especially if you've got pumped as well.
Yeah.
Everyone's fuming, gutted, and it's like on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just have your head down, do you?
Yeah. Well, I think you got to apologise, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's like put your straight own away. Like, sorry, that's my fault.
When you see players running off down the tunnel, whether they've been sent off or, because they normally have a little camera on the tunnel now, don't they, to sort of flick to for the TV, you see them going down. There's always a fella chasing after them in a jacket. Always.
So they smash the changing room up.
Yeah, is that what it is to try and calm? Because you do see him grab them, is it?
Yeah. It'd be like just to make sure you're all right, anything you need, whatever.
Because
that can be a dark, lonely place. It's almost like a Samaritan, isn't it? Like, it's just like someone just runs down and goes like, you okay?
Yeah, just chasing after the player. I always just think it's a bit funny little bit of the game, watching the fella in a suit, jacket, chasing after an elite player who's running down the tunnel. It's like a shit race. Mm.
Yeah, you're right, actually, yeah. Did you ever have a certain seat?
On the bench? Well,
towards the end,
I was pretty...
That's my chair, get up, get out of the way.
Yeah, there was a few of those, yeah.
They should have retired that seat for you.
Yeah, the Stoke one. They started a lot of games there, you know, as well. Towards the end, there was a lot of substitute appearances.
Was it at Stoke where the brand sponsored the headrests and the people behind couldn't see the players, so the headrest just went in the end. Uproar for the club.
They sponsored the headrest. Obviously, when they go to the manager, you always see that it was like a sponsored headrest. And then you couldn't see a thing if you were on the back row of the thing because the headrests were like there. Mm. You're like, so you had to just take them off and then all the sponsors were kicking off.
But the fans needed to see, right? Or was it you're on the bench?
Players.
You guys couldn't see.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Here's a question for you boys. What one match in football history would you like to be subbed into? What a question.
Yeah, that is good. Like, obviously, you'd pick one that's like an unbelievable. Like, imagine coming on half time in Istanbul.
Yeah.
Oh. I think that would be up there for me. I reckon I would pick that. But having said that, I would come on earlier in the final I played in Athens in 2007. I'll come on, I don't know, probably got about 15, 20 minutes. I'd like to have come on at half time in that.
See, are we assuming that the result would play out the same? So is the other spin on this that you have to pick a game that actually you would have liked to come into? 100%.
That would.
I've got a reverse one. I'd like to have been subbed off. Oh yeah, to be fair. Fulham versus Hull, 0-0 at half time, and then we lost 6-0.
6-0.
So I'd love to have come off at half time.
Would you say
little niggle?
A little niggle.
I drew 0-0. I drew, boys. You lost.
Yeah, six. Wow.
Yeah, six in the second half.
Yeah, I think coming on in that in Istanbul, like being Didier Mann, like when he came on and explained what that was like.
Yeah.
Like nothing else.
Because you're on the road to nothing, aren't you, as well? Like, if the chips are down, what can get worse?
No, can't
get much worse than that, can it? If you come on, but then if you get the
that
one
moment when he scored the winning pen, as well, he scored the winning pen. Yeah. He scored a penalty. Yeah. You know, that'd be special.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. So. I think you got to be one where there's a trophy at the end, and they don't come much bigger than that. And game in that game as well. Mm. Not really many World Cup games, is there? That's been.
Well, I'm just trying to think. I can only say about England, really, and that was only 66, really. That, I wouldn't want to play in any tournament that you haven't won it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's nuts what you're saying, Sids, though, that you can lose as a team 6-0, but still come out looking good by being substituted at the right time. So if it's 0-0, you come off go on to lose 6-0, you weirdly, despite the terrible result, look amazing to the manager.
The discussion in the pubs after is like, what did he take Sid off for?
Can't take Sid's off.
I mean, look what happened.
What happened, boys?
It's like,
what did you do?
There's so many times where you're at, where you haven't played and the team's got pumped, and then everyone starts asking the questions. You're on the phone-ins after the game. It's like, well, we just need, you know, Crouch is injured.
You've got to ask questions of the manager.
We need him back. He's like, I'm going, yeah, fucking right. Can't wait to be back.
You've never been tempted to either yourself or a mate of yours phone into a talking. No. Just to kind like, of get a bit of hype.
Just like boost yourself.
Crouch would have made all the difference.
Yeah. I'm reckon my dad did. And I'm certain my old man
must
would have, done
have
that.
Happened. At least a text into a radio station.
Yeah, 100%. I know he was on a few fans' forums just going like, we should have. When's Crouch fit? It'll make all the difference.
While we're talking Paddy Power, have we all seen the Brazilian Ronaldo ad? It's gone massive on social, this thing.
Incredible.
So am I right, and I guess if you haven't seen this, you need to check it out, to think now that Brazilian Ronaldo's replaced you as their official ambassador?
You know what, right? I saw that and I said, like, I know the lads that did the ad. I've done loads of stuff with them before. And I was like, any chance? Do you know what I mean? Like, me being involved in that one with Ronaldo.
So did you know it was happening?
No, I had no idea. It just came out. And I was like, oh, I've been shithoused. Because we, on this podcast, obviously, we had Kim Jong-un, you know, Elton John, which we've managed to do, by the way. And I could have had my hands on Ronaldo for a pick. That's all we needed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely stitched up. They didn't get in touch with me at all.
So I see this, and he turned up in a white limo.
Yeah.
Strolled across the pitch.
In a Sunday league club in Essex.
For a Sunday league club in Essex. And one of the players took his hat off as well. And he had the haircut on the front. And he said, what do you think of this? And he said, you're going to get divorced. And he said, yeah, but...
It's Ronaldo.
Ronaldo.
Oh, but what a player. My God. So apparently he flew in directly from Sao Paulo, came straight to... it was the Sports and Social Club in Romford, Essex. Phoenix FC.
So was it a real game?
Apparently a real game, yeah.
Was it actually a real game?
Ronaldo was unable to overturn a 5-0 deficit.
They do the substitutions, Ronaldo, the whole way through, the manager's giving him like, don't want to give away what happened.
But he's the fellow I know, the manager.
Oh, really?
And he kind of does those ads. And he's the manager.
Well, you knew the manager that was
on that ad.
So he said he dragged him off after a cameo of 10 minutes. And he said he wasn't tracking back.
Yeah.
Unreal.
And he gets subbed off on this thing. And they're just like, unlucky, son.
Yeah, it's Rob. Actually, like, he's involved. Big shout out to Rob, right? He's involved with Paddy Power. He goes, what was the quote again? Look alive, Ronaldo. That was the quote. Come on, Ronaldo, look alive.
Ronnie, Ronaldo. Shake him up.
Shake him up, Ronnie. All right, great. Let's get into a few messages, shall we?
Yeah.
I got one here from Matt. Legends. I was in my local pub the other day and I saw a framed picture of Crouchy and Rio Ferdinand on the wall. Ooh. I've been drinking there for 15 years now and I've only just noticed it. It got me thinking, I wonder how many boozers Crouchy reckons he's featured in.
Probably quite a few, I imagine.
I reckon you're quite prolific.
Yeah, I've been in quite a few over the years. Obviously, we know that I'm in Sam Rat. There was one recently, I don't know if I told you this story. I was watching Crime Watch, right?
It's still on.
Wow. Yeah, no.
Where is this going?
I reckon this was about 3-4 years ago, five years ago maybe. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, it showed a picture, right? And it was like this fella, you know, he owned this nightclub. He was, and it said, he used to knock about with a few stars. And it was a picture of me and Gareth Barry with this fella.
With him?
Like on the run or something.
No way.
Yeah. I was watching Crime Watch and it just popped up. So it was like a frame. It was like a framed photo that he had in his office or something.
The problem you have, I think, Pete, is you can't, like, someone asks for a photo, you're just going to have a photo, aren't you? You're not associated with the criminal in that instance. But you look like you're endorsing him almost. And
yeah,
that's never happened.
At that time, I was like, all right, come on, mate, let's have a pic.
Yeah, but if someone comes and asks you for a photo, you can't ask for. You can't say, look, no, not until I've done a thorough sort of research.
Sorry, mate, before we have this photo, have you done anything illegal?
Yeah. Can you just let me know that, you know?
Yeah. Have you all been checked out? Is everything above board?
Yeah. Who was the other player? Gareth Bale, did you say?
Me and Gareth, yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it though, but I no one had briefed me on it. I was just watching Crime Watch. My face was on it.
They should have pixelated your face, it feels.
Just a bit. You know what I mean?
Why is someone going to recognise them more because they had a photo with you? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know what it was. I don't know what. I can't remember the scenario. I remember the...
But also, if you're not watching properly, you know, you don't always have... It's fully focused on the TV and I see Crime Watch, I'm watching Crime Watch and just keeping casual eye just in case there's someone I recognise there, I'll be like, fucking hell, I know him, it's Peter Crouch. Like, I'll be on the phone.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. At least it wasn't a sketched picture.
Have you ever been sketched? Have you ever been sketched in court?
No,
that's a blinder. Like, no. I don't... Yeah, obviously, I don't want to do anything bad enough that I end up, but the ones of Rooney a while ago were amazing.
Mm.
If I was him, I'd want a copy of that
for the
wall.
Mm. Yeah,
it's still a thing, isn't it? The old court sketches. It's, yeah. I think we've talked about it on the pod before. You're a very specific artist, I think, to do court sketches because they're never, I think they do it on purpose, don't they? It's a bit like caricatures.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know, like, you know, we talk about this like pictures on the wall. I'm still trying to think now. I know there's a couple of pictures that I know that are dotted around, like old locals and things like that. And there was the Hawley Arms in Camden. It's quite a famous pub, isn't it? And I've got my shirts in there.
Have you?
Yeah, I've got a signed shirt in there. The manager, he's a good lad actually. He was a Liverpool fan. And I got him a shirt. I used to drink in there quite a bit. And I lived.
Did you get free drinks for that?
I got the odd. Drink also.
I like them quirky pubs where you can go abroad and you can leave a lot of, like, if you're in America, you leave a dollar bill with a signature or a phrase on there behind the bar.
It's nice though. Have you been to like Scalini's Italian and you've got all the people that have been in there over the years? Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I like it.
But people do pass the pub by. We've seen quite a lot of this traveling. They'll put like either a sticker on there or write on the wall. There's some bars that you write on the wall and stuff like that.
Pass the pod on it.
Past the pod, and I do think we've thought about this idea before around, you know, if you do want to put a picture of, you know, the podcast in your local pub, they're unlikely to remove it because there's just stuff in pubs, isn't there? Mm. That, you know, for a long period of time in the old pub, we had a foot massager. And then there was a picture David James drew and we just left it in the pub. To be fair, that got nicked eventually. Mm. But we talked about it on the podcast, so we were sort of drawing attention to it. But the foot massager stayed in there a while, didn't it?
Well, it looked like a projector above the TV, didn't it?
Yeah, no one knew.
It was in fact a foot massager.
The feet that have been in that seat.
Oh my God, like, if the feet could talk. all right, listen, I'm going to fire in if you don't mind and end this with an 11.
Yeah, we love 11. Love.
What's the theme today, please?
Blueies.
A Bluey 11.
It's a Bluey 11, yeah.
From who?
This is from James.
Oh, great.
I don't know how much... I mean, there's some here that... It starts with Zach Stiffening goal, Andy Throbertson, Solid Campbell. Obviously, Steve Sexwell's in there.
It's always going to be a Steve.
Obviously, yeah. Shane Long. Christian Erection. I can't say that one. Lucas Podolski, Chubby Akpom, Nobby Soldado, Gabby, Bonahore.
Oh, the manager's the best.
Oh my God. Yeah, the manager's just Pele. Oh my God, David Seaman was gutted to miss out on this 11 as
I've
well.
I've got one.
You got one?
Yeah. The former Chelsea player, Iron Throbbing.
Yeah, nice. Lovely.
Okay.
Lovely.
Right.
It's kind of moving into the old penis 11 that we've had previously. Yeah, almost, you know, we'll have Peter Crotch. We can bring them all out. Rodwell. Good. Have we had Rodwell on there?
Yeah, Rodwell's nice. Yeah.
There's plenty about.
Mm.
Sure.
Alan Hardew. Yep, thanks for joining us on this one. Long live the Super Sub. And remember, Super Sub is available on the Paddy Power app now. When your player comes off, your bet rolls over to the new player coming in. This episode is brought to you by a load of pricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. Three different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned round to my wife and said, what can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us. Then I told her, let's go to aloadofpricks.net.
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to loadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, loadofpricks.net.